Phil from philhogan.com. Today we're going to talk about some options for Canadians with U.S. IRAs.
Welcome to the Cross-Border Tax and Financial Planning Podcast with Phil Hogan, where we discuss, demystify, and help break down cross-border issues. Now, here's your host, Phil Hogan.
Okay, so let's get started. So let's talk about five options for Canadians with U.S. IRAs. So many of you know individuals with U.S. IRAs. You might have a U.S. IRA yourself. You might have inherited a U.S. IRA from an individual in the U.S., or you might have actually moved up to Canada with your retirement account, and you still actually have your U.S. IRA in the U.S. So let's talk about five main options for individuals holding U.S. IRAs and what we can do with those accounts. Option number one, likely the simplest option, is just to collapse the IRA. So you might collapse the IRA, pay some tax to the U.S. And move it up to Canada. Now that is really only works with accounts that are quite small. So you might have maybe a $10,000 or $15,000 IRA, and perhaps your tax rate is not too high because your income might be lower. It might make sense just to simply deregister the funds, pull the money out of the U.S. and maybe contribute to your RSP or just add it to a cash account. Once again, that option is really useful for those with smaller IRAs. I wouldn't suggest that for anything larger. It'll work if your income's already lower. You do have to be somewhat careful because for non-U.S. citizens living in Canada, there will be a 15% withholding tax on the IRA regardless. So if your Canadian rate is lower than that, you'll pay a minimum of 15%. But that would be the simplest option for maybe somebody with a much smaller IRA. They don't have to deal with the headaches of managing it down there or transferring it up. But do be careful with that 15% tax that will be levied at stateside for non-U.S. citizens. Non-U.S. citizens might also have a withholding tax, but they'll be able to report that amount on their U.S. tax return and recover any taxes if they're income is quite low. So yeah, option number one, small accounts, collapse the IRA, pretty straightforward. Option number two would be to roll the IRA into a Roth IRA. This will only work if you're already in the U.S. and thinking of moving up to Canada. If you've already moved up to Canada with an IRA, you won't be able to contribute to a Roth IRA. But let's assume that you're moving from the U.S. to Canada, and let's also assume that you're moving in a year where your income is quite low compared to maybe what it might be in the future. In that case, you'd be a good candidate to roll the IRA from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. At the time where you roll the IRA to a Roth IRA, and then you move to Canada, that Roth IRA will become tax-free both in Canada and the U.S., assuming there's some elections that you need to file. But once you do that, you can pull money out of the Roth tax-free both in Canada and the U.S. So if you assume, let's say that you've paid, 15% tax on doing that conversion from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, and then your future income tax rate is, let's say, 25%. So you've saved 10% on rolling that IRA from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. But keep in mind that you need to do that conversion before moving to Canada. And once you move to Canada, you really have to make sure that you do that Roth IRA election in Canada. So that's an election that gets sent to the Canadian government that essentially shows them that you have a U.S. IRA and then you're electing to defer the amounts. And then you can't continue to contribute to the IRA after that. But if you do that election, then the IRA itself will be tax-free both in Canada and the U.S. Okay, so that was option number two, rolling the IRA to a U.S. Roth IRA. Option number three is to simply leave the IRA in the U.S. So you might already have a broker down there. Most brokers don't have a Canadian license and they can't manage funds for Canadians. But if you do have somebody down that can do that, then you could leave the IRA in the U.S. Some of the challenges with that is, once again, a lot of the U.S. brokers can't manage accounts from Canadian residents, so that's an issue. They can't often take directions from Canadian clients, so the account itself is stuck down there without you being able to make any direction on the account. The brokers down there are likely not managing foreign currency risk between the Canadian and U.S. accounts. Not such a big deal if the account's smaller, but if it's a large account, you really want to factor in foreign currency, either hedging or just management. And once again, U.S. brokers don't necessarily understand, and it's not their fault, Dan, kind of intricacies of cross-border planning and specifically Canadian tax planning and financial planning. So that is an option to leave your IRA in the U.S., but as we'll see some of the options here subsequent to this, likely not the best option, especially for IRAs that are quite large. Okay, so let's go. This is number four. So option number four, and you hear this a lot. You hear this advice a lot from Canadian investment advisors. So roll the U.S. IRA into an RSP. So the real question here is why are we hearing this advice given by Canadian investment advisors? And really, Really, the answer is it's the only option for U.S. or for Canadian brokers to manage these IRA investments. They can't manage the IRA from Canada. Deregistering the account, especially if it's a large account, doesn't make any sense. You're going to pay a ton of tax on deregistering or pulling money out of the IRA. So their only real option is to take the IRA, convert it or deregister it, and then roll it into an RSP tax-free. And that would be a great option if you could roll the full amount of the IRA into an RSP. But let's assume that you have a $500,000 IRA. And I'm not going to get into the details of how you roll an IRA into an RSP, but generally speaking, you're going to need to have enough Canadian income to be able to roll a US IRA into an RSP. So essentially, you should be able to roll up to the amount of your Canadian income into a Canadian RSP. So let's say you have a $500,000 IRA, your Canadian source income's $100,000. So you should be able to roll that IRA into an RSP over 5 years. So you do $100,000 over 5 years and get that in. I mean, that's a lot of work to get into an RSP. Not a ton of advantages there really over actually having the amounts managed in an IRA. Some of the advantages do include, though, you'll have, if you do get the IRA into an RSP, and then eventually that RSP converts to a RIF account, the RIF payments are able to be split for pension splitting purposes. So you can split your RIF payments with your spouse once the RSP converts to a RIF, which is nice, which you won't be able to do that with an IRA. So the pension splitting rules specifically exclude IRA payments from the pension splitting rule. So you won't be able to split any IRA payments for income splitting purposes, and you will with RIF payments. So that's one of the advantages. Also, when you roll the IRA into an RSP, you're going to lose the benefit of being able to pass down that IRA account tax-free to beneficiaries. So unlike RSPs, that when you pass away, the RSP comes in to your income. So you have a $500,000 RSP and you pass away, assuming it's not rolling to a spouse, that $500,000 comes right into income. So at the highest rate, $500,000 hits your final Canadian return. But if that amount's in an IRA, you can choose, I mean, it can roll to a spouse tax-free as well, but it could also roll to a beneficiary tax-free, unlike an IRA. So that's a huge advantage, where you have a 10-year window where you can gift upon death a US IRA, and the beneficiary really has to take those payments over a 10-year life cycle. So you get to defer and stretch out tax on that account over 10 years, which, once again, unlike an RSP or a RIF, you're not able to do that. We don't have a lot of those mechanisms in Canada or in Canadian tax law to be able to stretch out income to beneficiaries over a number of years. Okay, so that brings us to option number five, which is really transferring the IRA from the US to Canada through a Canadian broker that can manage both US and Canadian accounts. So you find a US or a Canadian broker that has licenses on both sides of the border, both Canadian and US. So you will be able to now transfer your IRA up in kind without deregistering it to the Canadian broker that will hold your RSPs, your RIFs, your non-registered investment accounts, your IRAs and your Roth IRAs all in one place. And of course, the benefit there, I mean, especially with large accounts, is that you get to consolidate all of your investments in one place. You can manage all your foreign currency hedging and risk from one office. The accounts, once again, they're not getting converted to an IRA to an RSP. So, IRAs that are getting transferred to non-spouse beneficiaries, those will be able to stretch over 10 years easy. And really just consolidating everything in one office is often the best plan. Makes it simple for clients and much easier to manage. So option number five, really transferring the IRA to Canada to a licensed broker that has a US and Canadian license to be able to manage funds. So there, we've walked through five main options for transferring your IRA or managing your IRA from Canada. A few more issues to discuss regarding your US IRA. First, the US IRA is not reportable on Form 1135. We had a video about Form 1135 a few weeks ago. So the IRAs are specifically excluded from that reporting. Once again, they can't be split. The IRA pension distributions cannot be split with spouses, unlike RSPs, which is not necessarily such an issue, assuming that you have equalized your income already with your spouse upon retirement. And once again, as we discussed, the IRA payments can be stretched over 10 years to non-spouse beneficiaries, which is great because we really don't have those options for Canadian investment accounts. And of course, you could be subject to US estate tax. Now, you're subject to U.S. estate tax as a U.S. citizen regardless, but as a non-citizen holding an IRA, Assuming the account is over $60,000, then you would actually be subject to U.S. estate tax. That doesn't mean you'd have to pay U.S. estate tax, just means you'd be subject to U.S. estate tax and would likely need to file. I mean, we have very high estate tax exemptions currently, over $11 million, but now those are going to drop under the Biden administration. So, I hope you found that information helpful. Thanks again for watching, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Cross Border Tax and Financial Planning Podcast. For recaps of this show and more information on how to reach Phil Hogan, please visit crossborderpros.net or hutchison.ca. Please note that the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be constituted as professional advice.